Hello and welcome to episode 58. I didn't check.
I didn't check.
I can't check now. I think it's 58. It's going to be our salute special. You can probably hear in the background. We're already in the car on the way to pick up Phil at the moment. Jack's in the car with me.
Hi.
I had intended to record an intro before Jack got there, but then all my kids got up, so I couldn't really do that. Not without including them in it, which I didn't think was a very good idea. Not really sure what this podcast is going to contain at the moment. We're going to have a bit of a chat now about kind of what we're going to be doing and about what Big Up Salute is. But I'm hoping that we can get a couple of people that we demo to say something.
Oh yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be nice. Yeah. Maybe get Tom to say something, maybe at the end, and then maybe we'll have a lunch break at some point and have a chat about how things have gone, have a chat in the car on the way back, that kind of thing. So it'll be a bit of a different one where we're just talking a bit generally about what's happening. I've got to try to drive around a slightly windy village, so I'm being slightly careful where
blind bends
so I don't hit any pedestrians. I'm also trying to think about what to say. So just in case, well, particularly for anyone who listens to this who isn't from the UK, you might still know what Salute is, but so Salute is a one-day gaming convention in London. It's every April, run by, they're called the South London Warlords, but I don't know really what they are. I think they're originally just a gaming club. This is the 51st Salute.
Yeah.
Since 1972 they've been going.
Crazy.
Which, like, I didn't think games existed that long ago, so it's quite impressive. I imagine it's got a lot bigger and was much smaller back in 1972.
Yeah, they had to keep getting bigger and bigger places over the years.
I don't know the history of Salute, so I think there is some on the website, so I'd recommend checking it out, because it is quite interesting that it's been built up by gamers, actually, which is one of the things I like about Salute, is it's run by gamers for gamers. Mm-hmm. There's a huge variety of stuff there. It's a one-day event. It's 10 till 5. 7 hours is not really enough to go and see everything, I would say. I've only been once, actually, as a
what's that? Punter.
Punter. So I've only been once as a punter. Yeah. The other times I've always been demoing Moonstone.
I think it is Europe's biggest wargaming.
I think it's like Europe's biggest single day.
Single day one, yeah.
I think the UK Games Expo is pretty big, but that's three days.
That's multi-days, yeah.
So it's a bit different to that. This is more kind of, it's kind of a cross between a giant gaming market and also obviously like demoing and things as well. So when I've been there, this is my fourth time. I'll just try my down. This definitely has my fourth time. But my third time demoing Moonstone there, and I've been, the first time I went was as a punter. The first time I went with a battle hammer.
Oh really?
Yeah, it was a long time ago.
You just went just to go with them?
We went down as a group.
Yeah.
I think Jason, my friend Jason, went as well. Those won't know who Jason is, but that was back when we used to play Guild Ball, so yeah. I remember going there buying Guild Ball stuff. Huh. And when we used to play Gates of Antares. and I met, is it Rick Priestley?
Who
created Gates of Antares?
I can't remember now.
So I met him there, which was quite cool. The first one. What's also kind of good, I think, about Salute is that, and however much I love playing 40k and Old World at the moment and Mordheim and Necromunda and stuff, Games Workshop has almost no presence there at all. There's a few stands selling, I think, like Wayland Games has a stand and Element Games has a stand, and they sell Games Workshop stuff. But I think the first year I went, Games Workshop did have their own stands. But the last 3 years they haven't. They don't go. Which I kind of like, because Games Workshop has such a huge influence and share on the gaming market. In fact, they're not at Salute, I quite like. It's mainly small games.
Yeah, that's good.
I've been there to see and play Burrows and Badgers before when we played that as well. Yeah. He's usually there, Oathsworn.
Oh, is that where you bought a load of Burrows and Badgers?
That was like, yeah, I think that was the first time I bought a load of Burrows and Badgers was when I went there. That was when I first got into that game. I've still got the models.
Yeah.
And the rulebook, actually. But yeah, so we're going to, Jack with me, we're going to Darrow Moonstone for a day, which is fun. The theme for Salute this year is pirates. I did genuinely think about bringing a pirate hat. because obviously I'm a primary school teacher, so I have a pirate hat. but I thought, no. But we are going to be demoing on the new Moonstone board, which looks amazing. I mean, hats off to I think it's Mike, who now works for Moonstone, actually. I think we'll see him there. I think he's there. He's built the Moonstone, the various Moonstone boards, and they've got progressively more awesome. I think he's built four, I think. So I'm excited about using this one. And I brought my pirates along to stick with the theme, so we'll be demoing the pirates today. But I think it'll be fun, because normally when we demo Moonstone, we normally use the starter set models.
Yeah.
So advice for anyone who's demoing to friends or anything, whenever I've demoed before, which I've done a lot of, normally use the starter set human and goblin models and usually add in a big model, like Boulder or Gotchka, to show a bit of variety of the game. But this time we're going to use pirates. I don't know if we'll do, because also normally when we demo we do sleepyheads.
Oh, yeah.
As a scenario, because sleepyheads is good for demoing, because it means that you get very quickly into combat and arcane and things, which is really what you're trying to show.
Yeah.
You're trying to show that the melee mechanic and the arcane mechanic, but you want to show it in a game rather than just tell people them, which is something I often forget. I immediately start going on about the melee when actually you should just get, right, let's get started, start playing a game and show them the melee mechanic when you get into actually melee. But yeah, so we're doing pirates, which I think will be a fun change, also because the pirate models are awesome.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be quite a pull for people to see the pirate models. I think lots of people who have been sort of might have heard or been interested in Moonstone now, because like the first year when no one had ever heard of it, and I was having to explain everything about Moonstone, whereas now people are like, oh yeah, no, I've heard of Moonstone, can you show me? And said, yeah, okay. So it's much easier to get into it.
It's pretty cool that there's a set of models that fit the theme perfectly as well.
Yes, yeah. They fit. Yeah, it's nice to have that. But it's your first
next year's theme, Murder Bunnies.
Yes. but it's your first time at Salute.
Yeah. I've not been to Salute before.
It's a bit of a whirlwind, I'll tell you. Like, I mean, last year I went with Phil, and we demoed pretty much solidly for 7 hours. I know that last year it was only me, Phil, and I think Pablo came. Yeah, so me and Phil were on one board and Pablo's on the other, and we were demoing pretty much solidly. Just grabbed a sandwich when we could. I think Tom said he's got more volunteers this year, so we might actually get a chance to have a break and have a walk around. Just a complete tangent, because this one's really like. Last year, and I think if they're here again, you should go and see it. They had a huge, probably 8x4 Mordheim board, which is completely made up for more. It looked awesome. It had a huge chunk of Weirdstone in a crater in the middle of it. It looked amazing. So I recommend trying to. We'll see if we can find that. But
that's got to be done, definitely.
Yeah. I hope that we get a chance to have a look around. I mean, I expect that, because we're aiming to get there for 9.
Yeah.
So I expect we will have a chance to have a look around, to be honest with you, before we actually start. I think last year, when I went, we got there sort of 9:30, we were set up within 10 minutes, because Tom, and I assume Susie probably, has been there the night before, so they're all set up already.
Yeah.
So all we've got to do is get my models out. And get like the
crack open a beer.
At 10 in the morning, yeah. Crack open a Diet Coke is more likely. I think it's like 5 minutes to get ready. We can have a wander around before we start.
Cool.
I think last year I did get a chance. Like, I got 5 minutes because I needed to buy some paintbrushes. I think that's all I did last year was buy. I bought some paintbrushes and that was it.
Yeah.
And saw the more time, but I didn't do anything else. What are your thoughts on the day, Jack?
Well, excited. First time going. Been a while since I've demoed Moonstone. Got to be a couple of years, I think. When it was a much smaller event in Norwich.
It was at Dicini, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like a couple, maybe even longer ago.
Yeah.
So, really look forward to seeing the size of the place, all the different things there. Hope we get a little chance to have a wander around.
I think you will. I mean, given that three of us are going for a start, we don't necessarily need three of us on a board the whole time. I think we'll definitely have a chance to have a wander around.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I think we're going to stop there for the moment anyway, because we're about to get to Phil's house.
Cool.
That's a nice little 10-minute introduction, and like I said, we'll try and... I mean, maybe if we get a chance, we'll do a bit of a wander around and chat as we go at the beginning.
Yeah.
Kind of talk about Salute as what we can see kind of thing. I don't know, because at this point in time, I don't really know what the rest of the podcast is going to be about. We'll definitely do a summary at the end, in the car on the way back with the three of us.
Yeah.
But apart from that, I'm not really sure. So yeah, there will be a pause now. Well, the next bit starts. So yeah,
stop
watching. I don't know what to say now. Normally I don't do that, do I?
Cool. I'll stop you.
Okay, so we're at 2 o'clock. Been on my feet for 4 hours, demoing and selling. It's been a great day so far. It's very busy, very loud. So you can probably hear. I'm going to hold my phone up to hear the noise. Just on a lovely demo with father and son, Matt and Dylan. I thought I'd get their opinion on how it went. How did you find it?
It's a really good game. It's really innovative in the kind of card activation mechanisms. It's got a poker element where you're bluffing to challenge for any kind of ranged or magical attack. And then it's a sort of a tactical card play for kind of melee combat, which is really interesting.
Yeah, so did you... Do you normally play like dice games?
Yeah, generally.
Yeah. Yeah. Dice games.
Yeah. So how did you find the change to cards from dice?
I think it gives it a whole different theme.
It
doesn't
does.
It?
Yeah. It just gives you more depth into the play.
I agree. I think it's more tactical and less reliant on luck. There's still an element of the luck of the draw, but you've generally got enough cards to pick what you want to do.
Yeah.
Whereas you're not constrained by a good or a bad dice roll. So I think that's really good. So
you
can make
the
most out of a bad situation.
Yeah, and there are obviously ways in the game to kind of improve your luck.
Yeah.
To an extent, like we're in one of the melees, I sort of, don't forget, you can pay one to get two more cards, and you've got two more. Okay, that helps, doesn't it? So, yeah. Cool.
No, definitely. It was a really, really interesting game. And again, low model count, small space potentially, and scalable. So it's really good.
Yes. It's the kind of game that you can play with your family in the evening for an hour, and it's not... It's not too much setup time and put away time either, which is quite nice.
No.
Yeah.
And not too heavily terrain based, which a lot of skirmish games are very based around manoeuvring around terrain. Whereas there's certainly manoeuvring element to it, but it's not constrained by a small model count but a huge terrain count.
Yes. Yeah. No, you can get away with a few boxes and a few barrels and a house and a tree here and there, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you very much for joining in. Thank you for coming on the podcast. Yeah, hope you have a lovely rest of your day.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot. Cheers. Okay, so we're back at, about 20 minutes left, and I've just managed to get Tom at a time where there's no one at the stand for the first time since we opened to talk about just 2 minutes before he needs to go and get the van, how the day's been. It's been mental, I'll tell you that. But yeah, how's it felt for you, Tom?
Pretty exhausting. It's been non-stop. I was going to say we've got some huge holes in our stock, but that's inaccurate. We've got a couple of small islands of stock left where the stockpiles once were. It's been great. Islands. Oh, I'm going to get as many pirate puns as I can in from Horner.
Yeah.
I think that's a good aim. Yeah. But
some quite surprising ones as well. Like we've all been surprised how well the humans have sold out.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a resurgence this thing, which is cool. I never get it right. I always think I can predict what's going to sell well and what's not, but Yeah, we've got something like 8 boxes of Commonwealth left, and I brought 70 boxes, so it's pretty good.
I mean, the demo table, I've been backwards and forwards from the demo table and the sales stand to help out only where it's needed. And the demo table's had pretty much, I think now, looking at it now, at 22.5, which is towards the end, this is the first time I've looked where there's not been a queue of people to have a demo. So that's been pretty mental as well. It's been really good to have 3 or 4 of us over there to do it.
I've got a customer, I'm afraid. I'm
got a customer, yeah,
have
okay.
Let's go.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, we'll leave it there. It's been good to have a quick catch up with Tom. But yeah, it's been a great day for Moonstone. Selling out lots of things, lots of demoing going on, lots of very happy people, which has been nice. Lots of new customers, existing ones have come back and bought more, so that's been good. So yeah, we'll do a little roundup at the end, probably on our way home in the car. So yeah, we'll move. Okay, we're tired.
Yeah.
And in the car on the way back. Back up to Norfolk. Don't know what accent that was.
No, northern accent.
Northern accent, yeah. Not even that.
I can't bloody Norfolk, me.
Yeah, it's been a very busy day, isn't it?
Yeah. Very busy.
I mean, you two have been doing most of the demoing, you and Lauren. How'd it go? Because I was like backwards and forwards.
Oh, it went really, really well. Yeah, really well. Loads of demo games, and we had the small little sideboard set up just to show off melee combat, like dueling between Nick Crowley and Baron, and that went really well because people who didn't have time for a full game could just get a feel for the mechanics. And got a few people really into it just through that, as well as the demo games. Basically everyone that I did a demo game with loved it.
I did a couple of bits on that little fencing board, I think we called it in the end.
Fencing board, that's
so it was just literally a tiny little like alleyway scene almost, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was a nice little wooden surround there, wasn't it? It was well done again.
It was really well done, yeah.
Yeah, it looked very nice.
Plain or anything. I had one particular game there between two friends, and it just couldn't have gone more perfectly in terms of little bits of chipping away damage, bluffs being called and not bluffs, and just chipping away each other, and then get to use the arcane as well. It just worked really, really well.
Yeah, nice when it all comes together.
Yeah.
Were you on both boards, Jack, or were you?
No, only demoed on the fauns and gnomes board.
So we just to explain, we had essentially 3 boards for demoing. We had the little fencing board, like I said, which was a tiny little sort of 6-inch by 3-inch little alleyway thing, which was again between Negroli and Fancy Hat, and then we had it's supposed to be like a fawn encampment, I think, with the board.
Yeah.
It's got these like leather style tent terrain and forests and boxes. And on there we were doing gnomes versus fawns. And the other board was the pirate board, which is a brand new one, which looked phenomenal.
God,
I think that board alone drew in quite a lot of people.
Yep.
And that's like a dockside style board, and we're doing pirates versus pirates.
Yep.
And there we had human goblin pirates with Claudia, and then goblin pirates. You were on both though, weren't you, Phil?
Yes.
Man, a few words.
That one turned out to be a lot simpler to run because most of it was just pistols. One.
The fawn one was really fun. I found the more games I did, I was simplifying things a bit because the gnomes had quarrel and we were starting a bit closer together, and I didn't want people to think our quarrel's just going to kill them.
Yeah.
So I simplified it a bit, and it worked really well though. Actually, overall, not that we were really playing it out to see who won or anything, but it just so happened that both sides did win, ultimately. So,
yeah.
Gnomes did have a bit of an advantage in that board, I think. But,
Yeah, possibly, yeah. But it was...
I think the gnomes, because we started them closer together, it gave the gnomes a bit more of an edge. They didn't have to go as far.
They were already clumped together. They could go and get the moonstones easily. And the fawns had to deal with Quarrel being able to shoot them straight away and all this stuff. But still, like, everyone really liked it.
There was
one person at the very start who got incredibly unlucky, like, multiple times. And they just gave up. And it was a bit sad, because I thought if they... they'd seen past that and be like, you know, I did try and point out that what was happening. I think you were there, Phil. You know, I think they're playing against someone, and
let's be clear, it's against an 8-year-old girl.
Yeah, but I think
so. The guy really should have calmed down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he just got a bit fed up quite too quickly, I think, because I think she kept getting the perfect counter
to everything he did.
And it's difficult to get someone, or him in particular, back on side when he starts to lose interest, but weirdly, like, that never... Everything else that we did, and everything else I played, just worked really well. Like, everything went really well. Right at the end, there were two brothers playing each other, and they got really into it with all the bluffing.
They went and got their dad and made him buy stuff, so that's what they did.
Yeah, they were great.
Like one they had so much fun. Said he played Manifo, and he got it straight away. Yeah. Basically, I gave him the basics, and then he was just off on his own, which was good.
Yeah,
it's great.
Yeah, it always looked like, because I was flitting in between the demo table and the sales table, because we had problems with the card machines. So we're using my phone to make the sales well, which is fine. So I kind of got a taste of both.
Yeah.
And really, up until about 4 o'clock, it was basically queues on both of them.
Yep.
Pretty much from the beginning. So this year, Salute did a different thing where they, I don't know if it was some kind of like privilege pass or something, some people were allowed 15 minutes early. They haven't done that before.
Oh, so I wonder why there were people there. I didn't realise that happened. I didn't know
what that was.
If someone was there early on, and they were saying, like, well, can we get out of here? I was like, well, yeah, because you got in. Like, they must have been the early people.
I don't know. Yeah. But just certainly as soon as the 10 o'clock flood of people hit, you were demoing solidly, weren't you?
Yeah, demos, I think so. I had
constantly ongoing.
I went for a bite to eat, and there was probably about, at the end of the day, 10 minutes, maybe 10 minutes in between.
Yeah.
And other than that,
there was a bit of a lull around lunchtime.
There was a lull.
Because I was able to kind of cover all your breaks, basically, when you all kind of had a break, and we were able to kind of keep it going fairly solidly, but which kind of makes sense. Around 12 o'clock, people get hungry.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was definitely pretty solid after that, wasn't it?
And
quite often there were queues of people waiting, and like, you were demoing, there were people watching.
Yeah, there were people watching, then as soon as you finish the demo, they're like, oh, can I have a demo?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, which is really good. And a lot of the big, because when I was on the sales table, there were quite a lot of people who came to me and went, I've just had a demo.
Yeah.
Can I, what should I buy? Oh. Like, all of it, but yeah.
I was sending them over. I was like,
which is great.
You have to buy something, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I can't remember what I said, because I did a little bit before this with Tom, but that was 2 hours ago now. So I can't remember what I said on the last little chunk. But we sold out of things, some things quite quickly. We sold out of fairies by about 1 o'clock. Weirdly, we sold out of humans. That was the strange one. Humans haven't been the most popular faction for quite a while.
Yeah.
They've been fine, but not always been the most popular.
Yeah.
And today they were, apart from fairies, probably the most popular. We sold out of them really quickly. And everything else kind of sold pretty well. I know that Tom brought, I think, 4 big boxes of... I think he bought 70 of each, 70 boxes of each faction.
Oh, yeah.
By the end, he probably had about 12 left of each faction.
Okay.
And then with starter kits, and quite a lot of people were buying books as well, which is interesting.
Oh, nice.
Sold quite a lot of rule books, both the Arising and the other one. And another thing that I thought was interesting, because normally we sell quite a lot of starter sets, they always sell well. We had quite a few people just buying rule books and cards and then buying troop boxes.
Oh.
So weren't buying the starter set.
Specific things. Yeah.
Bought specific things.
That's good.
But quite a lot of people were interested in the Kickstarter models, to grab coffee.
Yeah, they were on display, weren't they? Yeah, there was Negroni was painted and the little I don't know what the name of the
Psycho Pump.
Yeah, what was that?
Can't remember what it was. I didn't actually have the card for that.
No. But then the others were unpainted on display.
Yeah. Some of them were like low res, I think Tom said, or 3D printed, so but they still looked awesome.
Yeah.
Which other ones sold out? Some of the Fawns sold out. The box with, you know, what's called now Reagan, that one sold out. Malachi Mystics?
Can't remember.
The one with Reagan, Klaus, and Gwendolyn. Was she in that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one sold out. A couple of the airships sold out, I think.
Yeah, I heard someone saying that, yeah.
Yeah. But we almost sold out of card decks.
Wow.
As well, and dice sets. And we sold out of widgets. We're buying widgets. I mean, sometimes I was like toting it up and I was telling someone it's £114. Like, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, you can really tell people go to there to spend money, don't they?
Yeah.
A few people ask about the widgets when I was demoing, they seem like really good.
I mean Jack got widgets.
People after my own heart, they
were. Widgets. And quite a lot of the token sets were selling as well. People like knick-knacky things.
People like that, didn't they?
Yeah. Some people even came and asked about t-shirts, and we sold a couple of t-shirts.
Oh, cool.
Which is good. I don't know how we'd have coped with any less people. Because there were six of us helping. There was Tom and Mick, who were obviously Goblin King employees, and four volunteers. I don't know how we would have coped less.
No. I think you needed
quite often we needed three people on the selling stands.
Yeah.
And I don't know how we would have managed with just two on the demo table.
Would have been swamped by people around the tables.
Yeah, it would have been tricky, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Because we did have both full-size demo tables being used, and sometimes, in addition, the fencing one as well, at the same time.
So I'm just having to pause a second while I get in the right lane. it was very full on. Very full on.
Yeah.
I think Moonstone's always been easy to sell based on the models. We had quite a few people coming over and saying, oh, I'm just interested in painting. So that's brilliant, because these models are great to paint.
Yeah, I remember that from last time I did demos as well.
Lots of people just interested in painting. I think this is the first time I've been where I've seen a lot of returning customers.
Oh, right, yeah.
I think, Phil, didn't you recognise someone that we demoed to last year?
Yeah, I went over and had a check. Yeah. I demoed to him. He said, I brought my daughter, and can't remember who else it was to have a go this year.
Yeah.
That was good to see.
I kind of recognised a few other people as well.
Yeah.
And towards the end of the day, we had people from other stands coming over and buying stuff as well. It was a very successful day, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, what's great for the Moonstone in the community is getting those new players in, people who join the community. And that's really what these events are about, is getting new players involved. We're knackered now. Absolutely knackered, like my legs hurt.
Standing all day.
Yeah, it is standing
and leaning and stuff.
Yeah.
By the end, what always happens with anything like this, my brain just gets so fried by the end.
Yeah,
I was going on.
I was trying to have a chat with Lauren in the last 5 minutes. I literally couldn't get the words out properly. Yeah. It was like I had altitude sickness. I couldn't talk.
Last demo game I did, I think I just completely. I had a moment where I realised that my grasp on what was happening had slipped. And I, at the split second, I was like, oh, it's okay, they'll know. And there's like, oh, no, wait, they won't know at this stage. So I just had to sort of go with it, be like, oh, I think we do this now, I think we're at this stage.
But it was all very positive, like I say, apart from the one guy at the beginning who rage quit.
He just got fed up with it too. He didn't give it a chance. And I think the word is tilted. Once he got unlucky a few times in a row, he started to feel like, well, there's pointless doing anything then. Well, he can't do anything, then what's the point then? Yeah. And it's difficult to get someone out of that frame of mind, I think, and then they're on the defensive.
Yeah.
I think that 8-year-old girl was a professional mood.
Well, she just schooled him, didn't she? Yeah.
But I had one guy talking turns out he was from Sweden, and he was like, how child friendly is it? And I kind of said, well, if you can, I didn't realise it was from Sweden to start with. And I said, well, if a child can read, they can do it, because you need to be able to read the cards. So I think Muto is relatively child friendly. You know, if you want to get into all the nuance and strategy, it gets a bit complicated, but
I think you could definitely play it just without thinking about that and just have fun. You know, you have to go for the whole.
Well, also the basic rules are so straightforward and also quite intuitive that, I mean, for like us to have the whole range and can play various tricks is almost trickier, because you've got to remember what everyone does. If you've only got the starter set and you get to know pretty quickly what everyone does, then you can start to...
Because you got that extra element, and loads of people were so interested by the whole bluffing mind game sort of video, and Dan Belly as well. It's not just, I'll go here, do the thing, oh, it worked or it didn't, now it's your go. It's engaging with the opponents.
I think the bluffing mechanic in particular is so kind of involved. Like you're, I can't think of the word now because I'm tired to get the words out, but you're so involved with your opponent, you're having to work, think with, against them.
Yeah.
You're not just relying on dice rolls, or you're not necessarily even relying on just cards, because you can bluff.
Yeah,
I always find the bluffing sells the game really well.
Mm, I think so. But there's multiple, like you say, with the models, draw people in. But there's multiple hooks that can get people, because then they realise, oh, there's no dice, oh, there's cards, oh, wait, you bluff. And the models look like this. So it's
Multiple selling points. Yeah. Interestingly, there are quite a few people who were, because anyone who doesn't know, listen to this, Moonstone won two pretty good awards at the UK Games Expo last year. I think they won Best Model Range and Best Rule Set, which, if you're a tabletop game, those are kind of the best two to win. And quite a few people were like, because they had stickers for those awards, and that's celebrated on the box art now for the starter set, and Tom had the awards out on display. People were saying, oh, well, it's won awards then, and that was the selling point.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
So, quite a few people were saying, oh yeah, I saw the Kickstarter, so people, like you said, there was a lot less people coming over and saying, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I had a lot of people that were intrigued because they heard of it, but they just didn't know more about the mechanics or anything, so.
I think that's it. I can't think of anything else to say. I'm, like I said, tired and brain slightly fried, but
I think Salute in general, let's say, first time I've been there, I really liked it. I didn't get much chance. I looked around a bit, but didn't get much chance to look around everywhere.
They just went so quick, didn't it?
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. It was 10. Look, I went for lunch about 1-ish, half 1, and then next time I looked at the time, I think it was 10 to 5.
Yeah.
And like, that's what the
hell's
going on. Yeah,
just whizzed by.
Yeah.
Before I have an accident because I can't focus.
Thanks to Tom and Moonstone.
Letting
us help.
Yeah. Good. No, it was good. I know Tom appreciates the help from the volunteers and these things as well. So, it was a lovely day. It was a good day. All right. Well, thanks a lot for listening.
Yeah.
And go and buy some more Moonstone.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Awesome. All right. See you later.